The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Wright, a very, very good morning. How are you?
To you, to Howard, how are you guys doing today?
Yes, excellent, thank you. I think we're trying to sort of emotionally survive load shedding, and generally, I was trying to give us a little bit of perspective, which wouldn't do us any harm. Talking about, you're saying?
I have to say, from our perspective, when we look at the load shedding that goes on in South Africa, it's something that's inconceivable in our world. I don't know how, if at all, we could survive under those circumstances. So I take my hat off to you guys for putting up with it. I know it's all generator driven and all the rest of it, but it seems inconceivable that we could have a situation like that here, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I have to say as well, which one of the things that, and I'm certainly not accusing you of it because I've never seen anything, you doing anything of the sort, but the one thing that annoyed me last night was the power goes down in our neighborhood, and of course people are upset about it, and then the very, very first, I mean, even before the power actually went down, was a ex-South African saying, complaining, because he was trying to have a Skype call with somebody in Joburg, but I'm sure he didn't have to put it on Facebook to tell us, and I wanted to actually respond to him and to say, you know what, considering his livelihood comes from South Africa, don't spit in the well. It is really, exactly. Really unnecessary,
and don't live your life on Facebook, I suppose, as well.
Well, exactly. I mean, we knew the power was out. Even those of us here in South Africa, we didn't need him who lives in Israel and was traveling to Australia or something to tell us. But we appreciated the update nevertheless. Prime Minister Netanyahu arrived in Warsaw in the early hours of the morning for a conference in the Middle East, and a security, and secure for Middle East peace and security, which is sponsored by the US and Poland. What is expected to come out of this conference?
So many things going on around this conference, so many things really to talk about. The conference will last for a few days in Warsaw. And, you know, the main topics of discussion will, of course, be Iran the Prime Minister has indicated that the first agenda item on the conference, which will begin later this evening, is Iran. And obviously he's there to talk a lot about Iran. And he went on to say that it seems ironic to him that the Iranians have been carrying out these attacks in Europe. And in fact, Israel has been helping from an intelligence point of view to try to help the Europeans prevent these attacks, which are being instigated by Iranian sources. And yet the Europeans are still trying to pander to Iran. This is, for the Prime Minister, very ironic. And at the conference, in addition to various countries from the Middle East being represented, all the European Union countries will have representatives there. So this is the Prime Minister's opportunity to really dig into the European Union countries about their policy towards Iran, and in particular that Iran nuclear agreement that the Europeans are still supporting, and certainly not taking the same stand, tough stand, that U.S. President Donald Trump has taken withdraw the U.S. from that particular agreement. So Iran is certainly an item on the agenda. The other interesting thing is that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be the only head of government attending this particular conference. And so that's also raised some eyebrows about whether it would be appropriate perhaps for a lower level a government representative from Israel to be in attendance. However, the Prime Minister has decided in his wisdom that this is the right forum for him personally to be in attendance. He will apparently be meeting various people around the edges of the conference, including U.S. Vice President Mike Pence and also U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who will be at the conference at various times. But I think the most interesting thing perhaps out of all of this is whether the Prime Minister will potentially meet with representatives from Arab countries with whom Israel doesn't have diplomatic relations. Mm. And there was a story released this morning as the Prime Minister traveled to Warsaw about the fact that apparently there had been direct meetings between Prime Minister Netanyahu and representatives of Saudi Arabia, the government of Saudi Arabia, official meetings, albeit below the radar without anybody knowing about it, without it being published in the press, talking about the Saudi peace plan, and this goes back even 5 years ago, when there were apparently some very, very serious efforts to take that Saudi peace plan and to generate it into to create something more out of it. Ultimately, the story says that Prime Minister Netanyahu was the one who said at some point that he wasn't prepared to take it any further for whatever reason, and that the whole thing fell over. But it's interesting that there were direct meetings with the members of the Saudi government. So lots and lots of interesting things going on around the conference, including some interest in those countries who have decided not to attend, including the Palestinian Authority, who refused to send representatives. And they even went as far as trying to convince other Arab governments not to send their representatives, saying that this conference should not take place until such time as Israel agrees to withdraw to the 1967 borders and give East Jerusalem as the capital of a future Palestinian state. Also in attendance will be Jason Greenblatt and, of course, Kushner, our friend Jared Kushner. Apparently, there are rumors that some sort of a peace plan from the United States might be unveiled, although I wouldn't be holding my breath about that.
It's very interesting. I mean, Netanyahu plays the role of foreign minister, so in some ways it kind of makes sense that he's there, and in others, because Iran is such a significant and existential threat to Israel, he probably doesn't want to risk anybody else being there. But it also says something about how thin his spread, or the fact that he just wants this limelight again.
Well, the whole area of foreign relations, and in particular the Minister of Foreign Affairs, is somewhat controversial, because I don't think there's anybody in Israel who would disagree when we say that Prime Minister Netanyahu is the best diplomat in terms of foreign affairs for Israel. However, he is also the Prime Minister. So the fact that he's retained the foreign ministry for himself is a distraction for him from his role in dealing with other issues which are beyond foreign affairs issues. At least that's my view. I think that a good government should have a Minister of Foreign Affairs as well as a Prime Minister, and that the Prime Minister shouldn't act in both roles, not to speak of the fact that he's got another 6 or 7 ministries which he's the head of as well. You know, let's park all of that for a moment. But I think that there must be somebody else in Israel who could act as a good Minister of Foreign Affairs, and I think that it would be much healthier for our government if we had those particular roles dished out instead of all concentrated in the hands of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Having said that, of course, he sees himself as Israel's premier diplomat, which I think is fair enough, but I think that he should do that in the role as Prime Minister. Having said all of that, of course, my view doesn't really take much a place, doesn't really come into consideration, and he is very much acting this time as foreign minister, but we can't ignore the fact that he will be the only head of government at this conference.
Moving on to another subject, during 2018, there was an increase of almost 20% in the number of permits granted by Israel to Palestinians requiring medical treatment in Israel. Just explain this to me. This is not Israeli Arabs, because there obviously there's no distinction in terms of treatment. Right. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. These are effectively non-citizens, Palestinian Arabs who are not citizens of Israel, who are citizens effectively of the Palestinian Authority area. And before we even talk about the number of permits that are granted for people to come into Israel, we should first of all, emphasize the fact that there is a great deal of medical coordination that goes on between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. This is something that's been going on for the last 20-odd years, more, 25 years even, even though during that time there have been ups and downs on the security front, on the diplomatic front. But even so, from a medical point of view, there's been very, very strong cooperation. And the fact is that the Israeli health coordinator actually helps to train Palestinian doctors. They bring them to Israel. They give them buddies that they paired up with health professionals from Israeli hospitals who they befriend, and they become colleagues and they turn to for support in their times of need, when they need help in treating their patients within the Palestinian Authority area. And having said all of that, there are, of course, times when Palestinian patients can't be treated for whatever reason within the Palestinian Authority area. And that's when Israel actually grants them and members of their family permits to come to Israel and to have their treatment done in Israeli hospitals. And this is the job of the coordination of government activities in the territories unit, otherwise known as COGAT. They are the ones who go about granting these permits. And more than 20,000 permits were granted during 2018 for people to come to Israel, patients and their families to get treatment. 6,000 Palestinian cancer patients were treated in Israeli, sorry, there were 6,000 Palestinian cancer patients in all of the Palestinian Authority area, of which 1,200 were actually treated in hospitals in Israel. In addition to that, more than 200 patients from the Palestinian Authority area actually received bone marrow transplants in Israeli hospitals. There were 18 patients received eye neoplasms, and 103 patients received cornea transplants with treatments mostly by the St. John's Ophthalmic Hospital in Jerusalem. So there is a lot of cooperation going on, and some of these stories are the ones that never get told in the public, which is very, very unfortunate, because this does show a really positive side to relations and cooperation that goes on between Israel and the Palestinian Authority.
Absolutely right. Finally, President Reuven Rivlin has been in Cyprus on an official visit. What are the main areas of interest between Israel and Cyprus?
Well, there's always the issue of security within the Mediterranean basin, of course, Cyprus being one of the countries very, very near to Israel and, of course, in that particular area. So there's always a lot of talk about security cooperation. But in fact, on this occasion, there was much more focus on the building of a gas pipeline, which is a cooperation between Israel and Cyprus. And, of course, both Israel and Cyprus are exploiting gas fields that have been discovered within the Mediterranean area. And those gas fields are expected to produce vast quantities of natural gas, which, of course, will be piped in the large part to the huge supply, the huge number of customers that are available in Europe, European countries that will be looking to try to buy this natural gas and also to bypass Russia's domination of this industry and, of course, Turkey's domination to some degree, because some of the pipelines that go from Russia pass through Turkey on the way to Europe. And so the idea is that Israel and Cyprus will cooperate to build an undersea gas pipeline, which has been labeled as one of the greatest underwater projects in the world. And this will take natural gas directly from the gas fields in the Mediterranean to destinations in Europe in order to allow those European countries to buy natural gas, both from Israel and from Cyprus, both of whom have these gas fields in the Mediterranean. And there will be cooperation with Greece and with Italy as well, because the pipelines are expected to land in those two countries, or at least traverse those countries on their way to European countries who will make use of this gas. So this is a very, very interesting development, because, of course, it also annoys Turkey a great deal. Turkey's making a lot of money at the moment from the pipeline that goes through Turkey. And, of course, Turkey's also been contesting some of the ownership of the gas fields in the Mediterranean with Cyprus. So Turkey at the moment is really on the sidelines, but Israel and Cyprus certainly have a very, very close relationship, not to speak, of course, of the fact that many, many Israelis are now traveling to Cyprus on holiday. It's only a 40 or 45-minute plane ride to Cyprus, and apparently you can get tickets to go to Cyprus for 30, 40, 50 euros return to land in Paphos, to land in Larnaca, to visit the sites in Cyprus, and apparently it's very, very cheap. Some people are finding that it's cheaper to have a long weekend in Cyprus than it is to have a long weekend somewhere in Israel. So that's also a huge area of cooperation at the moment between Israel and Cyprus.
Absolutely fascinating, Anthony Rach. That's where we leave it. We'll catch you same time, same place tomorrow for the Israel Report. It's just gone, 8 o'clock.